Gimel Kislev, Sunday the 15th of November, Dayan Yehoshua Posen. Whose investment is it? This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Ilul Nishmas, Rav Moshe ben Rav Yehoshua Zichron Levacha, the late Mr. Frank Posen.
Discuss the scenario where Reuven has invested with Shimon, and Reuven has invested with Shimon an amount of money. Shimon is supposed to be dealing in properties and takes different investments, and Shimon has come up with a property deal and he's shown all the spec to Reuven. Reuven likes the sound of it. Reuven wants to come in on the deal, and the nature of the deal is that Shimon is not prepared to take any liability whatsoever. He's purely going to manage the deal, he's going to buy the property, develop the property, and sell the property. And for that, therefore, he's asking only for 20% of the profit. So Reuven is coming in with all the money, Reuven is going to get 80% of the profit, he's got all the liability, and Shimon is going to manage the deal. Hopefully they're going to be matzliach and making funds, and the profits are going to get split 80-20. In the meanwhile, the money is sitting in Shimon's bank account. And Shimon holds a shtickle maven in the markets and the way that these things work. And he sees an opportunity. So a number of months ago, he sees that all of a sudden Far East is about to crash. And he takes the money, Reuven's money, and he speculates it on the markets. He speculates it on the markets. He goes in, he goes out. The whole thing is quite quick. And he makes a substantial amount of money. At this stage, he turns around to Reuven, who knew nothing about the deal at all. He turns around to Reuven and he says, "Listen, I didn't let you know because I know that you're quite stiff and rigid and you wouldn't understand the markets the way I do, but I saw an opportunity and Baruch Hashem, it turns out that it was very matzliach. I made a large amount of money, but you have to realize like this, till now, we split the profits 80-20, and the money is back in the bank account, still ready to go ahead and buy the property. They'd already exchanged. There was a period between exchange and completion, which was sitting in the bank doing nothing. So the money's back there, ready in time for the completion. You've got nothing to worry about as far as the property purchase is concerned. However, in the meanwhile, I've turned around a very nice profit. On this profit, I would like to split 50-50. I'd like to split 50-50. And the reason why I'd like to split 50-50 is because normally when I take your money to purchase properties, all the liability is on you. So therefore, since I'm not taking any risk, I only get 20%, which is basically a management fee. In this particular case, I went into the bank account, I dabbled with your money, and I know, I'm not a fool, I know if anything would have gone wrong in this venture, then of course you would have come back to me and you would have asked me for the money. So therefore, in this particular venture, which I took in the middle, I'm the one who would have been liable if anything goes wrong. And therefore, since I'm the one who would have been liable, I would like for that, instead that we split the profits, 50-50. Reuven turns around, first of all, absolutely furious at the thought that Shimon has used his money. And the fact that you would have been liable doesn't give me any major nechama, because I'm not interested in coming down and trying to evict you from your house because you happen to owe me a few hundred thousand pounds worth of money. But lemaisa, at the end of the day, you went ahead and did the deal. It's all beshet, and I've now got extra money sitting in your bank account. But there's no reason why I should change from the original deal of 80-20, because you went against the deal, you made a profit, very nice. But at the end of the day, 80-20. Now, if you would have more than half an hour, I would put it to the floor to ask you what you all hold. And chances are high that a number of you will turn around and say that you don't understand bechelal the scenario here. Why does Shimon open his mouth? He made the money, and he made a nice profit, so very nice, take that profit, put the money back in the bank, see no evil, hear no evil, Shimon Reuven doesn't have to know, there's no problems involved at all. What's the cloud of the problem? The answer to that would be, that was not what happened here. Shimon Halzach is an Eilecha Mensch. He's an Eilecha Mensch, and he has gone and invested Reuven's funds for the benefit of Reuven. He's not stolen the money. If he would have taken the money and put it on his own private deal on the side, there'd be a word for what he's done. It's called Geneva. And the halachas would be as such, that if I steal money from you and I make profit on that money, you're not entitled to anything more than the money which I steal. If I steal a pound off you, I buy a lottery ticket, I make millions of pounds, you don't get more than that pound. That's the rules of the game. But in this particular instance, that's not what happened. In this particular instance, Shimon is saying, I'm a elach mensch. This money you gave me for a shutras between the two of us, I've taken it and I've invested it for the shutras, for the two of us. The money was never meant for speculating on the market, it was meant for purchasing property. I'm asking, and because of that, instead of you being liable, I'm liable. I'm taka liable. But for the liability which I've undertaken, all unbeknownst to you, don't know anything about it, for that I expect a larger chunk of the profits. That's the nidden between the two of them. The shaila is, what's the halacha? The Gemara in Baba Kamma tells us like this. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, it's in Baba Kamma Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara like this. Tana Rabbanan, Hanoisin Mois L'Shluchei Likach L'Yichitin V'Lokach Mehem Sa'ayun. If somebody gave to his messenger, so let's say I keep the scenario the same, I'm the messenger, and you're the mashaleach, and you give me money to go and buy wheat, and instead I think I know better, I get to the market, I look at what's going on with wheat, and I think, sa'irin, barley is the way to go. So instead I purchase barley, sa'irin, v'lokach me'achitin, or vice versa, you gave me money to buy barley, and I bought wheat. Tanya chazer, we have one brisa that says, in pirsu pirsu loy, v'misiru isiru loy. There's one price which says, any profits, any losses, are all my profit, all mine. They're all mine. If I make a profit, I make a loss, it doesn't make a difference. If I've taken £1,000 from you to buy chitin, and I deviate and I buy sa'irin, I owe you back £1,000, and any profits, any losses are mine. Tani chada, and we have another price which says, in pirsoi pirsu loy, yimaisiroi hoisiro le'emtsa. If there's a loss, it's my liability. If there's a gain, then we split it 50-50. So the Gemara says, we'll have to analyze these prices in a minute, but the Gemara says, there's a clear steer between these two prices. Both of them agree. Any loss is made as a result of my deviation or my responsibility, but there seems to be a machlokes between the prices. What happens to the profits? I'm the shliach. You've given me the money. There seems to be a machlokes between the prices. What happens when I make a profit? According to the first price, I keep all the profits. According to the second price, we split it 50-50. What's the what's going on in these prices? Answers the Gemara, Amar Birchim, Leikasha, Horeb Meir, Vahoreb Yehuda. Horeb Meir, Zamashini Koina. Vahoreb Yehuda, Zamashini Einu Koina. Says the Gemara, it's very simple. According to a Meir, Shini Koina. Now, Shini, just very briefly, we all know the principle of Shini. If a person steals something and then he makes a change in the item which changes the name or the status or whatever it might be, then the Ganaf is Koina the Chafetz. We're not discussing Hilchos Geneva. Here we're discussing, well, I'm taking your item. And I've intended to do an investment on your behalf. I'm not taking it for myself, I'm intending to do it for you. So then there's a shaila. If I want to do something for you, but I deviate from what I was told to do, am I koina the money? You've given me money to make an investment, and I've deviated from what the agreement was, and I've used it to make an investment in something else. Am I koina that money now like a ganav? That's Rav Meir. And since that shit is Rav Meir, therefore, any profits, any losses are mine. Because as if I physically went into your wallet and stole the money. So whatever I do with the money, no one's interested. I owe you back the funds. That's the Reb Meir. And Reb Yehuda holds, no, Shini is a koina. Shini isn't koina. I am not koina that money. That money does not belong to me. It's still your money. And that's taka how we pass them. Now, let's analyze that for a minute. There are two things we need to understand. If we say, according to Reb Yehuda, Shini ain't a koina, then first of all, that means that whatever I buy with this money is yours. So you send me to buy chitin, and I purchased sa'irin, so then the sa'irin belongs to you, even though you never sent me to buy sa'irin. But I've done it for you, on your behalf, as a shlichus. So if that's the case, if there are losses, why do I carry the losses? Why am I liable? So the Mefarshim explained, because I was negligent. I deviated from the deal. What would happen if you sent a lawyer to sign and conclude a purchase agreement on a property, and he's meant to put into the document certain clauses and conditions, and he misses some out, and you close the deal. The deal is still a deal, the property still belongs to you, but you could turn around to the lawyer and say, excuse me, you were negligent, so you missed out a clause. I'm coming after you for the damages. That's what's happening over here. Hey, I made the purchase on your behalf. Shini einu koina means that it still belongs to you, the barley belongs to you, but because I deviated, any losses that come as a result of buying barley instead of wheat is my problem.
You're saying the shliach is a shomer.
The shliach, every shliach is a shomer.
And therefore he's a shomer shofar
shabbat. Correct. Or shliach shofar shabbat. Yeah.
Same thing.
Okay. So you sent me to do something for you. I've deviated here. So therefore I'm pesheya, I'm negligent, and I'm achori. Now let's go to the other part of the halacha. If I make a profit, then the profit gets split 50-50. Why does the profit get split 50-50? So Rashi and Tosfos both explain. They both explain that the reason why is because we're talking about a specific scenario. We're talking about a specific case where originally, when you gave me the £1,000 to go and buy the chitin, there was a deal that any profits we're going to make, we're going to split 50-50. The deal was from the beginning that I'm getting paid for my shlichus, that any profits that are made on this deal, we're going to split 50-50. So therefore, when I deviate and buy barley instead of wheat, if everything goes right and profits are still made, there's no reason why we shouldn't still split the profit 50-50. If things go wrong, then it's my achrayus, then it's my liability. If everything goes right, so we can stick to the original game plan and split the profits 50-50. That's the way Rashi and Tosfos learn. According to Rashi and Tosfos, what would happen if the original deal was 20-80? Same thing. So then instead of mechzer mechzer, we'll split the profits 80-20. There's no difference. And that's in fact how the Shulchan Aruch brings it. Which means that the Gemara is not very gushmak, because the Gemara, when it wrote this halacha, said you split the profits 50-50. Rashi and Tosfos say is talking about where the deal was you split profits 50-50. It would have been a much easier way to write the Gemara. Just write all the profits go to the Balat, to the Mashaleach. And don't speak about the scenario in the first place. Why be moikim in a case where they made an agreement which is missing from the Gemara, and then the Gemara asks us added information which we don't really need for what we're talking about. If you have a look in Shulchan Aruch, Chayish Mishra Simon Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Hei. Mechalva says like this: Nosan Mois L'Shluchoi. If you give money to a shliach, Liknos L'Chitin, Bein L'Shchoyer, Bein L'Achila, it doesn't make a difference. This is through the Gemara later on. What you want to do with this chitin? Are you buying it to eat, or are you buying with it to trade? V'Holach V'Konal Oisayim. Instead, he went and he bought barley. Oy Behepach, all the other way around. Im Hoya Bohem Hefset. If there's any losses, Hu L'Shliach. That's my liability. That's my responsibility because I deviated. V'Im Hoya Bohem Revach, Hu L'Mashaleach. So the Mechaber, who's quoting the Rambam, writes this halach in a much more simple, pure form. The way the Rashi and Tosfos are learning the Gemara. Now we're talking about a case where in the Gemara, the reason you split the profits 50-50 is because that was the deal. The deal was that we're going to get 50-50. So the Mechaber's got a very good idea. Let's write this halach in the clean form, without adding extra complications, and say that I was a pure shliach. You know, so you send someone to Eretz Yisrael to buy something for you, which you intend selling over here. You're not paying him anything. He's just doing your shlichus. He gets anything, because he's getting clever. Why do you want me to buy A? I can actually buy B. So he buys you B. He brings it back here. And now you've got nothing to do with it. If you can't sell it, so then the loss is going to be his responsibility. If you sell it and you make a profit, who keeps the profit? You do. The Mashaleach. Because why not? We're learning Shinu Einu Koina. It belongs to the Mashaleach. As long as everything goes right, then there's no reason not to. So the Mechaber writes it in a very simple halacha. All the profits go to the Mashaleach. All the losses go to the Shliach. That's the way the Mechaber writes this halacha. And then the Ramah adds in, V'hu adin, im nosan im mois, v'mechzis schar, namit in ahochi. Ramah adds in, by the way, if the deal originally would have been that the Shliach is going to get 50-50 on the profits, so then fine, that will be tak the case here. Based on this Mechaber and Ramah, halacha would seem clear. In our particular case, you gave me money to purchase a property, I've done the exchange on your behalf, we're going to split the profits 80-20, I get 20% of the profits, you get 80% of the profits because all the liability is on you. I park the money there, the rest of it waiting for completion. In the meanwhile, I take these funds and I dabble in the markets and I make a very nice profit. So the halacha is that if I would have made a loss, it would be my responsibility. I made a profit, 80-20. 80-20, because that's Mefurish and Halacha. The Gemara, when it said 50-50, according to Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch, is talking about a specific case where that was the original deal. But if the deal is 80-20, we split it 80-20. Along comes the Shach. And the Shach brings a shitta from the Bala'itu, from Ki Yosef as well, who learn no. They learn the Gemara at face value. The Gemara turns around and says, if there are any losses, then they're the Shliach's problem. If there are any gains, if there are any profits, then it gets split 50-50. And the Gemara doesn't say we're talking about a case where that was the original deal. The Gemara misses out a fundamental nekuda here. Says the Mekhi Yosef, you know why? Because it's not true. In every single case, even if there was no original deal, I'm not getting paid a penny, I'm a pure shliach. In every single case, the profits get split 50-50. Why should that be? Why should that be the problem? If we learn Shinu Einu Kona, that means when I went and I bought the barley, it's your barley. If it's your barley, why am I taking a share in the profits? So the Shach explains that is. There's another halacha which I think we learned here a number of years ago. There's a shaila which comes up from time to time. If you send someone to, let's say someone's going abroad, and you ask them to buy something for you in duty free, and there's a buy one, get one free offer, or all these other different scenarios, sometimes you're buying one for him and one for you, and you get an extra one, who gets to keep the extra one, all those kinds of shaylas. So those shaylas originate in the Gemara, which says like this. The Gemara says, what happens in a case, and hopefully there'll be some flick of recognition among some of you when I say tell you the Gemara. The Gemara says, what happens in a case where you send me to buy you 5 oranges? So I go to the greengrocer, and I say, hey, please can I have 5 oranges? You've given me the money. I go to buy 5 oranges, and he counts them out into the bag. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And off I go. So, there's no question that he made a mistake, because that would be a completely different halacha. If you're a shliach to buy something, and the person makes a mistake, and let's say there's no halachas that you have to return it, whatever, let's leave that now. But in a case, if a person makes a mistake, and you are allowed to keep that extra money, that's a completely different halacha. But here, there's no mistake. You sent him 5 oranges, he's given you an extra orange. So now the shaila is, what happens with this extra orange? Who gets to keep the orange? It's a big shaila. So the Gemara, we cut it down the middle. Which way? He doesn't say. We cut it down the middle. Right? We cut it down the middle. So the Machlokes are showing him why we cut it down the middle. One Malachim is showing him is, you know why we cut it down the middle? And we cut it down the middle because we don't know why he's giving the orange. Is he giving the orange because he likes me, because I'm a really nice guy? In which case the orange is mine. Happens to be I'm doing a shlichus for you, but the orange is mine. Or is he giving the orange because with this particular purchase, he feels generous, you know what, buy 5, get 1 free. In which case it's yours, because it's your money, I'm doing the shlichus for you. So it's a sofik. And since it's a sofik, we cut the orange down the middle. That's the first malach in Rishonim. The second malach in Rishonim asks a very shtaka kasha on the first malach. Mekhi Yosef and others ask a kasha, if that was pshat, then why are we tearing up the normal shulchan aruch? Normally, when we have a sofik in Momon, we say, Momon, I'm mutl sofik, I'm mitzvich very well, right? We've got a sofik who owns this orange. So it depends. Whose pocket is it in right now? If I chat before I come to you, I've got 6 in the bag, and I've got the sofik, whose is it? I'm muchzik in the orange, so I can have a breakfast. If I realize only after I've given it back to you, and you're now holding 6 oranges, and you count them out, and you say, oh, 1 minute, there's actually 6 here. So you're muchzik in the orange, so you get to keep it. Why are we cutting it down the middle? That's halacha of sukkos. When no parties are muchzik, what do we do with the orange? We split it down the middle. But we know here, someone's holding the orange, and there's a sofik who it belongs to. So look whose hand it's in, and they come to Bezen, and that's who will keep the orange. Turn around those who are showing therefore, and they learn a different shot. They learn, you know what's going on here? We even if we know for sure that he's giving it to the Mishaleach, even if we know for sure that he's giving it to you, doesn't matter. I still get half the orange. Why? Because if I wouldn't have walked into this particular shop, we're not talking about a town where there's only one little greengrocer, I chose which shop to walk into, and therefore I contributed to the fact that we got an extra orange, because if I would have bought it somewhere else, maybe you wouldn't have got that orange in the first place. Since I contributed to the extra orange, you are nene, you're benefiting as a result of my actions, and it's impossible to quantify exactly how much you're nene. Because one particular greengrocer, maybe, you know, a little bit, one, maybe a lot, so Chazal couldn't come to one finite ruling, so they said, you know what, split the orange down the middle, 50-50, I get half of the orange as hanor. That's the halacha. What's the nafgimina between those two mahalachim? Who cares why we split the orange 50-50? Posh nafgimina. What happens if he turns around and he says, by the way, who are you making this purchase for? Mr. Cohen, he's such a nice guy. Here, take another orange. So he's clarified to you why he's giving the orange. So in that case, according to the first malach we were showing him, well, the only reason we split the orange 50-50 is because we've got a suffix. We don't know. So then, when we do know, he's clarified for us, so then no problem, we don't need to split it. You know, give it all to the Mishaleach, you get the whole orange. But in a case, but according to the other map that we're showing him, who learned it's got nothing to do with a Sofik in Metzias. If it was a Sofik in Metzias, we wouldn't say Yechariku, we'd say Musuk. The reason why we split it 50-50 here is because even if we know the orange is yours, but you benefited as a result of which shop I particularly chose to walk into. And since you benefited from my actions, for that Hanor, which you got, I'm entitled to half of the orange.
Or if the Mishaleach sent into a particular shop.
No, then you wouldn't. Then you wouldn't. Around. Yeah, 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 yeah.
What happens if orange is only sold in sixes, but the man doesn't know? All over Poland, they're only sold in sixes.
Right.
Well, so he sends them to buy five, so he gets six.
But did he pay for five or pay for six?
He thinks he's paying for five. They're sold in sixes everywhere.
No, but the shliach, what's he doing? He's paying for five or paying for six? Mustafa, if he pays for five, then the person will say, sorry, we only sell them in six. I was trying to do an accent, but my Polish wasn't. we only sell six. So again, if he charges him the full six, that's nothing to talk about. If he gives him an extra one because he thinks, oh, can't be bothered for the hassle, so fine, then you're back to the shayla. Akaponim, so
what's who's responsible in case of neighbor?
Pardon?
Who's responsible in case of a neighbor?
Why would that be relevant?
If Chazal Shalom the oranges have been stolen, so who is responsible? Who belongs to? Either belongs to the one who
So actually, in this particular case, it's complicated. In this particular case, if I'm going to get an extra orange, then I become a shem esocher. If I'm a shem esocher, I'm chayv ganiva. So I'm getting paid for the job, so to speak. But that's a separate issue. Says Azoy. So the halacha is like this. In this particular case, say the Mukhi Yosef. So we have found by the case of the orange. By the way, just as a disclaimer. These halachas do not apply when someone asks you to go into duty free to buy for them a bottle of whiskey, and there's buy one, get one free. Then there's no question that you get to have half the bottle. The shliach gets to have half the bottle, I'm afraid. Why? Because there you haven't got either reason. Because they've got the offer there in the thing where they're selling. Whoever walks into the shop gets it. There's no sveikus in halacha, and they're giving it to whoever walks in. It's got nothing to do with no major choice there. It's not that you majorly contributed to the factor. Then the halacha is posh mutan. All the Heinz Kapoiskim, it belongs to the mashaleach. Where it gets interesting is if they say, if you buy five, get the sixth one free, and he's asked you to buy four, right? And you buy the fifth one, and that brings in the sixth one. So then, do you get all of it, or do you have to split it five? That's a different shit. Akaponim, coming back to our particular shayla. Coming back to our particular shayla. Says the Mukhi Yosef like this. Since in this particular story, just to bring us away from the orange and back to the investment. In this particular story, you sent me to buy chitin. And if I would have bought the chitin, you wouldn't have made that profit that the sa'onas produced. So therefore, since you sent me to buy the chitin, and I deviated and bought the sa'on, so therefore, that's the reason why the Gemara says, if you get profit, you split it 50-50. Because I contributed to the profit. If I wouldn't have done what I did, then you wouldn't have made that profit. So therefore, I get you a nene from me, and since you're a nene from me, I'm entitled to a share of the profit. Even if originally, we never had any deal. So according to the Yosef and the Shach, if originally we had a deal, you get 80% of the profit, I get 20% of the profit, and I go and deviate, and because of that, we make even more money. So in such a case, I'm entitled now to 50-50. Why 50-50? Again, because it's impossible to quantify how much I contributed, how much I didn't contribute. 50-50, I'd get 50-50, even though the deal was 80-20. What would be interesting, Shaila, which I'm waiting for someone to ask, but maybe saying this too quick, what would be interesting, Shaila, is that 50-50, according to Mukhi Yosef, is that 50-50 of the profits which barley made above and beyond what's chitin, what wheat made. Because if I was meant to do the deal for you on wheat, had I stuck to the game plan, you would have made the profit the wheat brings in. Instead, I deviated and went to barley, and I bought in different profits. But if, let's say, this profit's the same level, then why should I get 50% of that profit? You would have made that profit if I wouldn't have deviated. That's food for thought.
But in our case, he was using the money when he wouldn't have been making any profit.
Correct. Okay. In our case, you don't have the shayla. In the Gemara's case, you have the shayla. Right? Because in the Gemara, they're saying, Mechza, Mechza, and Mukhi Yosef is saying, it's talking about a case, because he gets a not. Akaponim, just to... Oh, no, then you're liable. So the chitin went, yeah, so then you make profit, 100%.
No, he's saying you'd be liable for the loss.
No, he's saying...
Loss of profit on the chitin.
He's saying the other way around. He said the chitin went down and the barley went up.
Yeah.
So then you've made all the profit of the barley is yours. Now, let me bring up one more scenario. So let me just be clear. In this original shayla, when I've deviated, I've taken the money without any permission, I've spent it, speculated on the stock markets, I've made a very sizable profit. In this particular case, according to Mechaber Amor, you'll get all the profit. Sorry, you'll get 80-20, the original deal, 80-20. You'll get 80%, I'll get 20%. According to the Shach and Mukhi Yosef, then in this particular case, since I caused all of it, there's no stopping at all. Without me, you wouldn't have had anything, I'd still be sitting in the bank. So therefore, I mean, if we'd say this a number of years ago, maybe we'd have to detract the interest that you would have made had it stayed in the bank for those few days. So therefore, in this particular case, so then 50-50, And the Shabtaka says that you can say Kimli. If I'm still Musak in the funds, because it's still sitting in my bank account, I can say Kimli, and the profits will get split 50-50. That's the answer to the first original Shaila. Now, let me throw in, we haven't got much time, but let me throw in...
Have we actually passed
him? We pass him, that if he's Musak, he can say Kimli. The Shach, in Mormon, when you have a Machlekes, it depends on who's Musak. The Shach's an established Shitter. 50-50, yeah. Now, let me throw in a spanner to the works. What would happen if, instead of everything going rosy, it didn't quite materialize the same way? You know what's happening? To start the whole Shaila differently. You gave me money to invest in the stock market. You wanted me to put it in high tech. You think high tech is the way to go. You've been studying the papers, and you want me to put it in high tech. I look at the markets, and I think you don't know what you're talking about. And I've tried to advise you to put it into, gold, right? To put it into gold. So, and therefore, and I've advised you to put it into gold, and you haven't listened to me. So instead, I put it into gold. I don't tell you. I'm quite confident, which is why you shouldn't invest in me the second time. No, gold is the way to go, and I'm just going to put in gold. I'm not going to tell you. And then when we make a profit, I'm going to say, aren't you happy? Aren't you happy? You should have listened. But okay, I've done it in any case. So I put it into gold. Right? And then, the next morning, there's a catastrophe somewhere in the world, Chas v'Shalom, and the whole market across the board plummets. Markets open, 9 o'clock, 9:05, free fall. Everything falls. And all the stocks have got stop losses in, because I'm not going to invest money without putting in something to make sure we don't lose everything. And we lose 10% of the money, and straight away the stop losses come in. The markets revive, but by that stage the shares have gone. Now, I turn around and I say to you, listen here, I've got to be honest, I actually didn't put it into high tech, I put it into gold, but the truth is it doesn't make a difference. Because all of the stocks, the whole market dropped way below 10%.
Also the gold?
Sorry? Also the gold? Yeah, that's why gold wasn't a good example, master. But the Akaponim, shows everyone's listening. But the Akaponim, so everything dropped 10%, straight down. Stop losses kicked in, taking out all the shares. So the truth is, it doesn't make a difference what I invested in. It doesn't make a difference if I would have invested in the high tech as you wanted to, it would have lost 10% and it would have stop loss would have kicked in. And if I would have invested the gold, whatever it was, then also the gold. So it doesn't make enough kimina the fact that I deviated. What's the halacha in such a case? What's the halacha in such a case? In such a case, let me give you the options. In such a case, do we say, now listen here, when we say pichsu pichsu loy, if there are any losses, it's going to be your liability, then that's because I've deviated, and my deviation, my pshia caused the loss. I bought soyrin, and soyrin plummeted, so then that's my problem, I caused the loss. But when my deviation is not mala mori, it doesn't make enough kimina to what happened. The matzia says, whatever would have happened, you would have lost the money. So I'm bringing back, instead of bringing the chitin in the boot of my car, and I'm out black bag, I'm bringing the soyrin in the boot of my car, and I'm out black bag, and the car gets stolen. I get hijacked, and the car gets taken away, carjacked. So it doesn't make enough kimina. What will happen, whatever happens? So do you say then that that's not my liability? I didn't cause that to happen. That's got nothing to do with me. Pashtus in the sugya, that's how you're told. Pashtus in the sugya, you'd say that since we pass in shinu einu kena means it's your item sitting in the car, in the boot of my car, or if I purchase the stocks, I purchase gold instead of high tech, it's your shares which I purchased. They're still yours. But if my negligence results in that in losses, that will be my achrayus, but it's still yours. So if that's the case, if the thing that goes wrong is nothing to do with me, then it should be your loss. It should be your loss. And that's like the way that a number of poskim passed in halacha, rishonim achronim, but there's another mahalach in the Nesivos. The Nesivos comes up with a chak. The Nesivos comes up, we haven't got time to adjust this, but in 1 minute I'll do the best I can. The Nesivos says like this: when I go and buy barley instead of wheat, you didn't send me to buy barley. You sent me to buy wheat. That barley is only yours pending your confirmation. What does that mean? That means when I come to you and I say, by the way, I bought barley for you instead of buying wheat. So then you have the right to turn around and say, no, I didn't want barley. I wanted wheat.
Yeah. You don't have to accept it.
You don't have to accept it. Yeah. So says the Nesivos like this: if I bought the barley and I sold the barley, and if there were losses, I've crystallized the losses. And if there were gains, I've made the gains. And now I come knocking on your door, either sheepishly or with a big grin. Right? Either I've lost the money or made some losses, or I've made profits. You haven't yet been consulted, so you haven't yet confirmed whether you're happy with the shlichus. If you ask me to do a shlichus and I fulfill the letter of the law, exactly what you said, I don't need confirmation. But when I deviate from your instructions, then I need confirmation you're happy with the shlichus I did. Says in the Sivas, if I knock at the door and say, by the way, I'm really sorry, I thought I was doing the right thing, instead of buying barley, wheat, I bought barley, and you won't believe it, and I made a loss. At that stage, you have the right to turn around and say, well, I don't want barley, and I didn't want barley, and therefore you didn't make the purchase for me, and therefore all the money that you spent of mine, I want back. If I went and I made a profit, and I knock on your door and I say, by the way, I bought barley and I made a profit, you can say, great, I'm okay, I'm easy with barley, barley's good, where's my money? Says the Nesivas, in this particular case, that you've got the choice. If that's the case, so then even if the losses resulted nothing to do with my deviation, at the end of the day, when I bought all the money on gold, or wherever it is on the stock market, and the whole market fell, and it's true, if I would have stuck to the game plan and put it on what you wanted me to put on, you also would have lost, but it doesn't matter, because I did deviate. Since I did deviate, when I now come to you, I need your confirmation. Of course, now it's already crystallized, the losses are done and dusted. Now I knock on your door and say, by the way, I'm really sorry, I put it instead onto gold, the whole stock market fell, whatever happens, even if I would have listened to you, and I would have put it onto high tech, you also would have lost your money. So therefore, I'm really sorry you lost 10% of the funds. Now you have the right to turn around and say, okay, it's true, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Baruch looked after me, and you didn't follow my instructions, and you didn't put it into high tech, but you did deviate, and since you deviated, I have the right to decide if I'm happy with your shlichus. Now you're in that extremely unusual scenario of having 20-20 hindsight. Now you can say, and what happened? You put it onto the market, and you lost the money. Actually, no, I'm not happy with gold. I don't want it on gold, or whatever it is you put it on. I don't want that. And therefore, even though the losses would have happened in any case, it doesn't matter. I'm not interested in the money, and therefore, please return all my funds.
Yeah. Okay.